Yeah, we are going to continue the In the Presence of God theme. So today we're going to be talking about in the presence of God there is peace and joy. So we started off with peace and joy, and I can see you guys have added some more words. So I'm going to get you guys to add some more words if that's okay. I'm just looking. I've picked some people to read out the scripture. Oh yeah, Chris and Mark. So instead of me speaking for half an hour, I thought I'd get Chris and Mark to read out the scriptures. Oh, Matthew. I'm looking at getting names mixed up. So we need the mic. So today's passage is John 16, 16 to 33, if you want to follow it in your Bibles.
Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." At this, some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'?" And because I'm going to the Father, they kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he's saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you haven't asked for anything in my name. Ask and you'll receive, and your joy will be complete."
Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In the days that you will ask in my name, I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then the disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly without figurative speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have come to overcome the world."
Brilliant, thanks guys. What's that? Do you turn off the phone? That's it, isn't it? Oh, is that me? Oh, I didn't. Yeah, okay. So, peace and joy. So I think we could probably all agree that if we looked in the dictionary or if we asked kind of what is a world view of peace, that it would be very much dependent on our circumstances around us, that if all is well, then you can have peace, or if you think about my peace and quiet, and you know, you can think, oh, I can get peace. But actually, I think we all know that actually there's a deeper peace and a deeper joy, isn't there, that we can find in Christ, that there's a joy and a peace that just goes beyond circumstances. It goes beyond what is going on around us. Earlier in the scriptures, in John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And there we can just see that true peace is when our hearts and our minds are trusting in Jesus. Like I said, it doesn't matter about the circumstances. We know that in this world, Jesus just said it, there will be trouble. But we can still have peace and still have joy. So practically, what does that look like, living in the presence of God to receive peace and joy? So I've just got new scribes. I did ask Deborah, but I'm going to sit with these guys. So I'm taking a leaf out of Elizabeth's book and doing an acronym for peace and joy. But I think you guys are just going to see whether you can fit these words that I'm going to give you into the puzzle. And it's great that, you know, we had peace and joy on the board. And these are words that just two of us can think of to do with peace and joy. So, yeah, just encourage you that the things that I'm bringing today, there's so much more that can be added to that. So yeah, practically, what does it look like? And this is just a reminder for us all. I'm sure we've done all of these things over time, but yeah. So the first one is press in. So if you want to fit somewhere, press in, somewhere on the board. So we can see in the scripture, the disciples, they were in Jesus' presence. They were physically with Jesus, but they were still anxious, weren't they? They were still asking, what does he mean? Like, we don't understand. What does he mean in a little while? So they were physically with Jesus, but they were still anxious. And we can be the same. We can be aware of God, but we can still feel anxious or worried or scared, can't we? How many times have we been talking amongst ourselves about our worries or our problems, trying to figure things out ourselves? And even when, for example, times of worship or times when we come to seek God, do our cares or our thoughts or our worries take over that time? You know, worship is a classic example of how many times do we come in maybe a little bit stressed or something's on our mind and we're trying to get into God's presence, but things just are on our mind. Our cares and our worries take over. But thankfully, as we can see in the scripture, Jesus knows that his disciples were anxious and they were asking questions. Jesus knows that we are human and these thoughts can overtake us sometimes. So he invites them to go deeper with him. Jesus asks them, are you talking about what I mean in a little while? Like, Jesus invites them to connect deeper, and he invites them to actually acknowledge that they are anxious and they're asking questions. And that's the first thing that we need to do. We need to acknowledge that we are anxious at times, that we haven't got peace, that we've got something inside of us that we are struggling or wrestling with. And if you've got a personality like me, I like to run away and hide. I like to kind of just go under the duvet and hope things will sort themselves out. Or like the disciples, you might run to a good friend or a family member and like to talk through the problem and trying to figure, go over the problem and trying to figure it out. Or you might be very practical and like to take things into your own hands and be like, right, I'm going to get it sorted. I'm going to figure this out myself. But who knows that true peace is when it can only come from Jesus. True peace that is deep down. It's that answer and that peace and that security that we get from meeting with God, isn't it? So what does pressing in look like? So the next word for you guys is evaluate. Evaluate, yeah. So what is really going on in our hearts? Notice that Jesus didn't actually answer their question. Their question is, what does he mean in a little while? But if we go over what Jesus said, he said his answer to them was, you will weep and mourn whilst the world rejoices. That was the first opening, and I quite loved that, you know. Here's the disciples worrying about, what does he mean? Like, I don't understand. And Jesus is like, you will weep and mourn. I was like, oh, that's a great encouragement, Jesus. But thankfully, he does continue. He tells them that it is a time of grieving, but he goes on to say that they will see him again, that they will rejoice, and no one will take away their joy. He explained how they could ask the Father and communicate with him, and he gave them hope and promises of a better time to come. The disciples were focused on timings and things that they couldn't understand, and I can completely relate to that. With things going on in life, we want to know, well, when will it be over? Or when will something happen? Or I don't understand what is going on in a situation. I just want to understand. So we can relate, I think, to the disciples. But it's interesting how Jesus comes and he doesn't actually answer their question, but he gives them hope and promises. He builds their faith to believe and trust in him. Notice that in his reply, he's assuring them that he knows all things. He knows about the situation. He knows their worries and their cares. He knows everything. And he says that he reveals what we need to know. Not necessarily what we ask, but he reveals what we need to know. He knows our thoughts, what's going on in our hearts, and he gives us promises that actually the future is good. Even though there might be a time of grieving, there might be a time of suffering or pain or whatever it might be, he gives us hope that there is a better future in him. So even though Jesus didn't directly answer him, he gave them hope. He gave them a reason to trust in him. And that's what it comes down for us as well, when we're a little bit anxious and we're feeling worry or scared about something, or we're just focusing on a situation. It ultimately comes down to, are we trusting in God? I was going to say, I'll get you guys, if you want, you can sit down, because it's a little bit before the next word. But so part of the evaluating is asking Holy Spirit, what is really going on? What is really going on in my heart? And I once heard that if we're worrying about something, that we're actually believing that thing is more powerful than Almighty God, which puts it into perspective, doesn't it? It's so easy to worry and be anxious about something, but then that gives us a clue to where is our hearts? What are we believing? You know, are we so focused on this problem or this situation that's happening, or do we need to shift and become more focused on God and what he can do? And it's definitely a journey. It's definitely not easy to walk this. But Jesus knew that the disciples struggled, and he offered them help. He offered them, you know, let me explain more. Come deeper with me. And it still involves having faith and trust. But actually, in going deeper with Jesus, in deepening that faith and that trust in Jesus, then that's when that peace and that joy can come, because you're holding on to something stronger than just the unknown around us. And as I was thinking through this, I was thinking part of the kind of evaluating what's really going on inside, actually, there might be things that's stopping you from experiencing the fullness of peace and joy that the Holy Spirit has got for us. And just some of those things might be unforgiveness towards yourself or for others, because if we're carrying unforgiveness, then it kind of eats away at you, and you can't really experience that full peace that God has got for you, because your focus is on yourself and the hurts and the things that have been going on, and it distorts our views for the future. Sin is an obvious one. It breaks down our connection with God. So even getting into the presence of God, sin is an obvious one, which makes us want to run away. Like Adam and Eve, they ran from the presence of God. But thankfully, God is a God who's wanting us to come into his presence. Fear is another one. Fear obviously steals our joy and our peace, and it takes our focus off God and makes us doubt God. Disappointment might be another one. The past events shaping our future hope. And again, I heard it said, don't let disappointment determine your doctrine, and don't let discouragement dictate your direction. Because, yeah, these things can actually, the things of the past can actually influence how we look and see the future. And also, one thing that might stop you from experiencing that full peace that God has got for us is by not doing what he's told us to do. You know, there might be something God's put on your heart to do, and if you're not doing that, then obviously you're going to have that inner battle of knowing God's asking you to do something, but you're not doing it. So those are just a few things that might stop us from experiencing the fullness of the peace that God has got for us. But when we come into his presence, this is where we need to actually just spend time with God and engage with him and just seek, okay, God, what is really going on in our hearts? Are we covering things over, or are there deeper things that we need to deal with? It's a time for the Holy Spirit to shine on our hearts, to show us what's really is going on. And yeah, Jesus said, we will weep and mourn when the world rejoices. And, you know, in the scripture, he was talking about his death and resurrection. But actually, we're called to die to ourselves. And it's definitely not easy, or the world's way, to turn away from sin, to forgive other people, to walk in God's will. And in doing some of these things that God is saying, you know, this is actually really good for us. It's like when you've got a wound and it needs cleaning. You know, it's painful and you just want to cover it up and not let anybody look at it, but the Holy Spirit comes and cleans out that wound. And it could be painful going over and dealing with past hurts or forgiving or dealing with sin or disappointment. But actually, once it's cleaned, it can heal. And I think we've all experienced that forgiving others, or experienced forgiveness for ourselves, or doing God's will, or breaking free from a fear, that is actually, that brings a lot of joy. Doesn't it? It can be quite hard to get there, but actually it does bring a lot of joy, and joy that the world doesn't bring. You know, the world tells you all sorts of ways to get joy, but this is that true, that deep joy. So the next thing in, so we've got for peace, we've got press in, evaluate, and the next one is accept. So if you can see whether you can fit accept somewhere. So yeah, as I was thinking about peace in our lives and that true peace, there's two things that came to mind for accept. And that's accept what we don't understand. And there was one song that we sang today about how God just knows everything. He created the world. And how many times, I've definitely tried to figure out God before. I don't know whether anybody else has tried to figure out God. But sometimes we just can't figure out God. It's, you know, we just got to have faith that he knows what is good and he knows how things will work out. And there was one situation years ago now, and there was this one situation in my church, and I was just, not this church but another church, but I was just like, I just can't figure out. And you know, it was stressing me a little bit. And my one friend said, well, do you need to figure it out? And I was like, well, actually, I don't. But then once I decided, oh, I don't actually need to figure it out, then peace came. And I was like, oh, okay. So it was that kind of letting go and that accepting of some things we just don't know. Some things God knows. He knows the reasons and things behind it. But we don't need to know. Another thing that we need to accept is that we can't change other people. The only person that we can change is ourselves, and probably the majority of us know that trying to change somebody else it definitely steals your joy and your peace, because you just can't change somebody else. You can pray for them, obviously, but you can't change other people. But the next one for the C is one thing that we can change, and that's our perspective. So change your perspective. That's three words, but So in the presence of God, that's a time when we can change our perspective. And when we focus on God and when we worship God, it really does shift how we see our situations and things going on in life. It reminds us of who God is, and it reminds us of who we are in God as well. It shifts our focus off of ourselves and our problems and on to God. Okay, the E in peace is engage. Engage, yeah. So after we've pressed in and we've evaluated with the Holy Spirit what is really going on in our hearts, we've accepted the things we just can't change or we can't understand. And then we're changing our perspective, we're changing to view things how God is viewing things. And then we just need to engage. We just need to dwell, to rest, let things sink in and work in our hearts. We need to tarry and listen. And it's about dwelling and not rushing away. In today's society, it's such an instant society, isn't it? And we can kind of think, oh, coming into God's presence and spending a long time or a good amount of time in God's presence. In today's society, we can just think, oh, that's quite, have I got time to do that? Or it just feels, oh, is it worthwhile doing? Or I've got so much other things to do. But actually, we do need to really engage and dwell and rest and spend time in God's presence. And when we're in God's presence, we need to be present. So we need to be there in the moment. And like I said before, coming into times of worship or just times with God, it's so easy for our minds to wander off onto different things. But we need to be present in that moment. And it can take practice. One thing that I find helpful, I know sometimes if you're so busy and you're going from one thing to another, when you do actually stop, that's when things come to mind of, oh, I need to buy that from the supermarket, or, oh yeah, I need to call that person. It happens, doesn't it? And I find just asking Holy Spirit, can you remind me about that later? Or just have a notepad and jot it down, because otherwise you'd just be distracted, and you're like, oh yeah, I need to do that. But then it's about making time in the presence of God his time, and things will come to mind, but it's a way of how do you actually, just make a note of that for later, or just ask Holy Spirit to remind you later. So how can we engage, really deeply connect with God? And again, just to remind ourselves about the disciples in the scripture, they were with Jesus, but they were engaged in the conversation of themselves, of what does he mean? We don't understand. But when they switched to be engaged listening to Jesus, then that's when they were like, oh, okay, we can see now that you are from God, and you know us, you know our hearts. And their whole kind of attitude changed, didn't it? They weren't focused anymore on the timings of things or what they didn't understand. They're now like, oh, now we've got that peace. Okay, moving on to the joy. For J, I've got just do it, like Nike says. I'm a master procrastinator. I will put things off. Even though things are good for me, I will just, delay them. And I think sometimes coming into the presence of God, sometimes we just need to do it. We just need to make the time and just do it. Even when there's a lot going on, we need to actually make time. So we make time to visit friends or make a phone call, and it's the same thing with going into the presence of God. If we make time, if we get rid of distractions, and we actually allow ourselves time in the presence of God. And also with the just do it, is about doing what he's asking us to do. When you're in the presence of God and God is speaking, it's just do it. Just forgive that person or let the situation go or just dwell or meditate on scripture or change your focus. So yeah, it's about being proactive in what God is telling us to do. And remembering it's a journey with God as well. And it will look different in each season. I'm sure all of us have had different seasons in life. And some seasons we've got more time on our hands. Other seasons we haven't. So it's journeying with God as to what does it look like being in your presence in this season of my life. And for the O of joy, I've got over and over. over and over, that this isn't a one-time quick fix thing. We can't have one time with God and we've received the peace and joy in his presence, then that will last us. We have to do it over and over. We have to keep coming back into his presence and catch the little foxes, as it were, that's come to steal our peace and our joy. The more times we come into his presence, as we do it over and over, it'll be easier to see, oh, that's stealing my peace at the minute, or that's stealing my joy. And also, it's good to read scripture over and over. Ask Holy Spirit, what is he saying in his word over different situations you might be worried about? And speak those over and over. Or even, you know, build yourself up in the Lord. I've got this little book from Freedom in Christ. I don't know whether anybody else has done this course. And it's got some great verses about who we are in Christ, and or verses about who he is as the Father. And I've had times where I just go over them every day. And it's amazing how it just builds you up. So we need to be going over and over scriptures that actually build us up. Because what we speak over and over, that is what we're going to be dwelling on later. If we're speaking to our friends and our family or others, going over and over the problems, guess what's going to be in our minds when we go to bed at night? So again, it's not ignoring the problems, but it's asking Holy Spirit, okay, what is going on? What do I need to deal with? And focusing on the answer that he gives. And the last one for why is yearn. And we need to be like yearning to be in his presence. And over time, as we come into his presence and re-experience that peace and joy, then we'll get to a point where we actually yearn to be in his presence. We want to go away with him. We want to be in that secret place. And we come to, yeah, just yearn his presence, because we know that nothing else will satisfy, nothing else will bring us the joy or the peace that only he can bring. And I'm sure all of us are at different places in our lives at the minute. Some people might be like, I'm feeling quite peaceful at the minute. You know, you can sort of feel you're quite secure and knowing, yeah, God is good and he is with me. But other people, you know, that you probably know that there's a few things on your mind that I'm not quite peaceful about that thing. Or so I'm sure we're all in different places at the minute. So I just thought, just to finish off, if we just spend a little bit of time just waiting on God. So yeah, just inviting you just to, yeah, just close our eyes and just focus on him at the minute. And just ask him, you know, do I need to spend more time pressing into his presence? Do I need to be real with God? Do I need to forgive somebody? Do I need to repent of something? Is there a fear that is starting to take over? Is there any disappointment that, if I'm being honest with, is creeping into my relationship with Jesus? Is there anything that God has asked you to do that you're not doing? Do you need to accept anything that you don't understand? Do you need to let go of any any person that you're trying to change? And do we need to change our perspective? So yeah, let's just engage with Holy Spirit and wait upon him, and let's listen to what he wants to say in this moment. Jesus, I thank you that you promise that, yeah, our grief will be turned to joy, and that we can have peace and joy even during suffering and trials in this time. And I just pray, Jesus, would you just come and meet with each of us here? Would you, like you did with the disciples, just notice when we are struggling and we're a little bit anxious or something's not quite right? Would you help us to accept your invitation to come deeper with you? Would you help us to engage with you, help us to meet with you, help us to hear what you have got to say about the situation, Father God? Would you help us to experience that peace that surpasses all understanding? And in those things that we just don't understand, I just pray, Father, would you help us to get to that point where we can just focus on the things that we do know, that you are good, that you don't withhold any good thing from your children, that you have got good plans for us. Would you help us to, yeah, help us to make that mind shift of what is true? What do we know that is true? And off of the things that we just don't understand, help us to follow your ways and to take your lead, even when you don't answer our questions, Father. Help us to trust in you and have faith and to be built up in you, to know that peace and that joy. In Jesus' name.